Thank you. It's been wonderful. I've certainly been blessed, and I hope that you have as well. And we've had the opportunity to hear through song and also through the program the wonderful story of Christmas. And really, Christmas is the celebration of Christ's birth. We've read of that already in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Luke. And John says it this way in John 1 and verse number 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And what a great declaration that is. This evening, for just a few moments, I want to focus on how John states it in the epistle of 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 14. I believe that this verse so adequately summarizes the message of Christmas. In 1 John 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says this, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? As I read that verse, I find that the reason that Christ was sent is clearly declared for us, and it is to be the Savior of the world. That word Savior is such an important word for us to understand, and we find that the word means one that saves or preserves, but properly can only be applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is according to the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says, "properly applied only to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who has opened the way to everlasting salvation by his obedience and death, and who is therefore called the Savior, by way of distinction, the Savior of the world." Begin to think about this statement, this declaration in 1 John 4 and verse number 14, and we find that there's obviously a need for a Savior. And this need is a universal need. The Bible says that He would be the Savior of the world. That's not talking about the rocks and the dirt and the trees. That's talking about the people, that God would be the Savior of the world. I would say this, not only is it a universal need, but it's the greatest need of humanity. It's a universal need, it's for the entire world, but it's the greatest need as individuals. We need a Savior. I was pondering the truth of Luke chapter number 1, verses 46 and 47, where Mary says this. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced," notice this, "in God my Savior." I notice in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 14 that John says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And Mary says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So the question this evening is very simple. How does the Savior of the world become my Savior? How does the Savior of the world become my Savior? Jesus was born. We celebrate that. We are here this evening. We've seen so many things. We've heard so many things. He was born, but He didn't stay a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was born to die. We find that after His public ministry, He went to a cruel cross. And it was there that He died and He shed His blood for the sins of humanity, for your sin and for my sin. Why? Because God sent Him to be the Savior of the world. And in order to save, He had to die. He had to shed His blood because there had to be a payment for sin. The Bible says it this way, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We find that 3 days later, He rose triumphantly, conquering sin, death, and the grave. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. But I find that His precious blood was shed to make a payment for your sin and for my sin. We heard a little bit this evening about gifts, and maybe some of you have already purchased some gifts for some loved ones. And when you purchased that gift, you had to pay for it in order to give it to someone else. And I want you to know that the gift that God offers to humanity is the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That gift had to be paid for as well, but we cannot pay for that gift. You can't be a good enough person. You can't work enough. Religion can't save you. Works can't save you. Jesus Christ paid the price. And the only price that was acceptable was the shed blood of God Himself. And what a blessing to understand that. When I think about the gift of eternal life, I would say this tonight: the gift is essential. What do I mean by that? You need this gift. You absolutely need this gift. I understand we live in a marketing society, and they will try to market to you what you need, and it will make your life happy and easier and so on and so forth. But the gift of God that is eternal life, you need this gift. Without this gift, the Bible tells us that we'll spend eternity in a lake of fire. Why? Because sin must be paid for. If you don't accept the gift, then the just God issues the punishment, and that's eternal separation from all of eternity. That's the truth of God's Word. But He loves you. We heard about the message of love. Christmas, the message of love. He loves you, that He died for you, and He offers you this gift. It's essential. But I would say this, it's exclusive. You hear sometimes about an exclusive offer. You can only buy this thing at this place. Can I tell you that the gift of eternal life is only available through Jesus Christ in His shed blood on the cross of Calvary? Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He did not say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way." And we find that this gift, it's essential, it's exclusive. When I think about the gift of God, which is eternal life, I want you to understand this evening that it was paid for, and it's available to you this evening. It's available. We ask this question: how does the Savior of the world become my Savior? It was 28 years ago in my life where I recognized that I was a sinner, and Christ was the only Savior. I was guilty, and I deserved punishment. But Jesus Christ, God Himself, took my place. He paid for my sin, and He offered me the gift. The Bible says this, that He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So this evening, very simply, how does the Savior of the world become your Savior? By you accepting Him as your personal Lord and Savior, recognizing that you're a sinner, that religion can't save you, that your works can't save you, that the only way to be saved and to know that heaven is your home is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And here's the exciting news. If you've never accepted that free gift, you can accept that gift this evening. I would encourage you, don't leave here this evening without knowing for sure that heaven is your home, having that 100% confidence that the Savior of the world is my Savior. And you need to know that the Lord is your Savior. The psalmist said this, "The Lord is my shepherd." He ends the psalm, a very familiar psalm in Psalm 23, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Can I tell you there's a connection between verse 1 and 6? You'll only dwell in the house of the Lord forever if the Lord is your shepherd, personally. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. But the question is, can you say He's my shepherd? Can we say, as Mary said, "My Savior"? This evening, if you're not sure of heaven, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, tonight He offers you the gift, and all you have to do is receive it. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing one last song. And so if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, we're going to pray just for a moment. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the gift of eternal life. So often we think about gifts during the Christmas season and all that's taking place, but we think of that greatest gift. God, You sent forth Your Son to be the Savior of the world. And tonight I hope that not one person would leave here without knowing that the Savior of the world is their Savior personally. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want anyone looking around. But if you're here this evening, and I'd never call you out, I'd never try to embarrass you, but if you'd say, "Pastor, I do not know that God is my Savior. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The thought of death scares me. I do not have assurance that I'd go to heaven if I were to die. If that's you this evening, would you just slip your hand up? I'd never call on you. I'd never embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure of heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I'm not 100% sure of heaven. Anyone else? Some have raised their hands. Let me say this to you this evening. If you're not sure of heaven, you could pray a prayer like this. It's not the prayer that saves you. But you could pray a prayer like this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve judgment, but I understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary so that I could be saved. He paid for my sin, and I accept the free gift of eternal life this night. I ask Christ to be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that this evening, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And what a joy to know this Christmas that heaven is your home. Father, I pray that as these that have raised their hands, that they would know with certainty that heaven is their home, that you'd give us opportunity to be able to speak with them. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here this evening. Bless the remainder of the service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.